Hi, I'm Tim Lovejoy, and this is my award-winning podcast, The Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by those kind people at Kooker. What's that? You love the podcast so much that two a week isn't enough and you want more? Well, you're in for a treat this week. I've got music boss Alan McGee.
I don't think I've ever said that publicly. That's the I've said that privately to my pals. I'm the king of working with people that hate each other, do you know what I mean?
I answer your life questions on this month's midweek Mark. Mark is back. And on the A to Sedan of football, it's the letter L. Three podcasts in a week, and if you subscribe, they'll arrive straight to your phone or device. Love conversation, love learning, the Lovejoy Hour. Welcome to the Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by those lovely people at Kooker. 100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. I love mine as I get sparkling water out of mine too. It's such a good invention. For more information, go to kooker.co.uk. Today's hour conversation is a midweek Mark. Yes, they've let him have Zoom in prison. He's back. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tim. Are we still going with the prison?
I thought we'd get one more week out of it.
Okay, cool.
And then, next month I'll make up something else. But for the time being, I like the vision of you sitting in prison.
That's very nice of you.
I can visualize it. It's like podcast painting pictures. Before we carry on, I must tell you that during this podcast, I will be giving advice. Yeah, I'm not a qualified doctor. In fact, I'm not qualified at anything. So if you are taking advice off of me, you need to remember you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which is a horrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Mark, what have you been up to? How are you? Are you well and what have you been up to?
You find me with a slight cold, but apart from that, so if I do sound nasally or I have some horrible throat clearing, do excuse me. But apart from that, not a great deal, Tim. Not a great deal.
I really want to have this podcast which is your sort of idea, actually, to be an escape from all the bullshit which is going on with the coronavirus. But it's bizarre that you've managed to get a cold during a time when everybody is trying to socially distance and wear masks. I've not had a cold for a year.
Yeah, I used the word cold because it's a much nicer word than what it actually is, which is a sinus infection, which I get a lot because of my asthma and my allergies. So I get blocked ears, blocked nose, and like a golf ball. You know what I mean by golf ball throat? I call it. It's not a sore throat. It's, you know, when it's something that feels like it's something pushing into your neck.
Remind me to talk to you off air about that, because I have some advice for you, but it's mumbo jumbo, so I don't know.
Oh good, is it? What? So oh no, is it like,
I don't want to do it on the podcast, but
is it some sort of winter solstice thing?
It involves nudity and lard and stuff, so you know. But I was talking to a friend the other day actually on a WhatsApp group about what we do post coronavirus. Let's just pretend it's coming to an end, shall we? And we're all going to be, are we going to start? Some mate the other day I bumped into in the high street went to shake my hand, and I looked at it and thought, not sure about that. And I avoided it. What do you think?
I haven't shook a hand for a year or so.
Will you shake hands afterwards?
I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't prepared a statement, Tim.
Will you wear masks on public transport? I'm inclined to say I will, because I'm really enjoying not having colds.
Again, I don't know. I know where you're coming from. I get very claustrophobic as a person, and the mask wearing I don't enjoy at all, but I can see the benefits of it. How diplomatic is that? Is that fine?
That's fine. I like that. You're not getting yourself into any trouble there at all. You're navigating your way around that nicely. And the final thing is, which is the one that I always have, when I was a producer at Soccer M and obviously working at Sunday Brunch and stuff, I always hate people coming in when they're ill, like they're some sort of bloody hero. And I'm always much more inclined to say, just stay at home. Like, you're getting us all ill. Now, I think the one thing that might happen is you get a bit of a cold. Hopefully now most people will say, stay at home, stay off the public transport, you know, if you've got any form of virus, and just work from home, because now we've all got used to doing it. I think we'll all want to go back into the office, but great to just be able to go, stay at home, you're ill.
I think, yeah, absolutely. And actually, this is a point I brought up when we were doing the Living with the Lovejoys last year, and we were looking for reasons to be cheerful, and that was my one. And I was looking forward to the end of what is known as man flu, when any man is ill, they're told that they've got man flu.
Yeah, I hate that as well. Bugs me. That, and when any man over a certain age dances, doesn't matter how good you are, dad dancing. I won't dance then, because you're just going to take the piss out of me, aren't you? Yeah, us poor men, we have it hard.
We do. We really do.
It all fell in place. I was on Sunday brunch and we had Majestic on, who's a producer, Kiss FM DJ and everything. Top man. Really lovely bloke. And a joke, he just sat up for me. It was so good because we like talking about our comedy, don't we? And he just started going on about how he doesn't drink tea or coffee. And I said, why on earth not? And he said, I drank so much coffee once that he ended up in hospital or something, or ended up puking his guts out. He was so ill. I can't really remember the whole story because in my mind, I was like, oh, I've got a joke here. I can't believe that's up for me. So I said to him, yeah, one of my mates, he went blind from drinking too much coffee. And Majestic went, really? And I went, yeah, he left the spoon in the cup. Right, and I thought, I cannot believe I've got that joke away. Then panic.
Because the joke doesn't work, because you'd have to poke yourself in both eyes with the spoon.
But panic set in because I was like, who have I offended with that joke, right? Because I talked about eyesight and it's an old joke. And I suddenly panicked and went, oh, no. Fortunately, no one complained about it. But I was like, and there lies your problem with comedy now. And I would not like to be a comedian at this day and age, because every joke you're writing, you're thinking, who is it that I'm upsetting? Who's going to cancel me? Who am I offending? And I think that could be quite a good problem. Also on Sunday brunch, Mark, I can't believe it. I said cheese makes you fat, and I got in trouble with the British Cheese Board. The cheddar were okay, but the Wensleydale went apeshit. Now that joke works, Mark, because you thought I was talking about humans, and yes. Then what I did at the end, I span it round, and it was just cheese, and it painted pictures in your mind of British cheeses sitting on a board having a go at me. That's how that joke works, apparently.
Thanks, Tim. it's always better when you explain them, I think.
I've been actually thinking about comedy a lot. I listened to three podcasts recently.
I must just stop you when you say what we're doing here is comedy. Because it really... Because we've started doing these terrible jokes for each other, yeah. And they're essentially joke book jokes / puns. And I had one during the week that I thought of, and you can't say we're doing comedy. Really.
Yeah, but that's it. Like one's a pun. Like sometimes you do puns and something. And I'm thinking about how jokes actually work. And when you start going down the line of how jokes work, it's not a good idea, Mark, because it starts ruining comedy for you. Because you start just looking at the observational comedy, as we all know, it's like, do you remember when? And then you just sort of gives people a sort of feeling of, you know, familiarity, which makes them giggle, I suppose.
I think so. And there's always that thing as well about dissecting the frog. You know, once you've dissected it, it's not going to hop anymore, is it? You know, you can kill it once you've dissected it. So,
well, I've been listening to a few comedians recently discuss comedy, and I heard some sort of like anthropologist or something once discuss it and say it's a way of humans coming together to feel connected. That's all comedy really is. Apparently people used to tell jokes years ago with the tribes before they're about to go and fight someone. They would tell jokes insulting them to demean them to make give yourself a sense of superiority. And you can see a lot of comedy is superiority. Look at the Irish jokes over here. It's a superiority thing. Oh, the Irish are stupid or whatever it is. There's an Englishman, Irishman and Scotsman is always aimed at giving yourself superiority for a joke. And that's what a lot of racist jokes are like that and stuff. So it's an interesting, it's interesting to try and analyze it. Anyway, what have you been watching? You're our Netflix, Amazon Prime correspondent.
I can't remember if I mentioned half of these last time.
God,
because we've done a month. Have you seen Lupin, which is the French one?
I started it and I was and
oh.
I that good because I started it and I was like, I'm not interested really.
See, I got put off of it by the word fantasy and I went, oh dear, I'm not a fantasy sci-fi person at all. You know, hobbits and space things, not bothered. It's really good. It gets really good.
Okay, I'll watch that.
There was five episodes, and by the end of it, why is there only five? And it leaves you on a great cliffhanger.
As we mentioned in last month's podcast, the idea that it's subtitled is great. Yeah. It actually makes me want to watch it. Okay, I'll go back into that. What I found, Mark, I've got to be honest with you, is I'm watching one episode of everything, and right. I've just become a little bit bored with because we're in lockdown and things are not changing. So I get through the first half of an episode of something and I think I'm not committing to this, and I get out because I think I'm not going to commit to 10 episodes of this or whatever right. it is. And I've just honestly put football on every single night in on the background. And it is, I mean, I've gone from being hating it because of VAR and all that to actually just finding it quite funny now. Cause yeah. It's lunacy. It's like, you know, there's no such thing as a foul anymore. It's just touching. It's contact. Yeah. That's it. And it's pathetic what's happening in football. Now I find it quite amusing that we're all getting up in arms in it. It's turned into a weird sport at the moment. I mean, it might change when the crowds come back in. Go on, carry on. I interrupted you.
That's all right. No, and another French, it's a French film, actually, which I might mention to you last time, Les Miserables. It's not the musical. I think I did mention... This is now ringing a bell now. I'm actually saying it out loud.
I think you might have done, but yeah.
Go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. It's a French film. It's set in modern day Paris and it's from the side of the police. I think I did mention that. Like, now I'm thinking about it.
Oh. It's
really, really, really good. Do you remember, is it La Haine? Do you remember that? It was years ago, the 90s, black and white film.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like that, but it's from the side of the police. That is brilliant. There's a good crime doc about a serial killer in the 80s in LA called The Night Stalker. Have you ever heard of this serial killer?
Yeah, I've only heard because I watched the thing on Netflix. So I don't know whether I know it or I didn't watch it. I've just watched the trailer.
Oh, you saw the trailer. Yeah. But I'd never heard of this guy. His stats are prolific. You know, he should be in the sort of Hall of Fame for serial killers. I hadn't realised how many people he killed.
Genghis Khan?
No. But, you know, modern day serial killers. It's extraordinary. And then a couple more films. I Care a Lot, the new Rosamund Pike one on Amazon Prime. Very good. Okay. Very good. It's her and Peter Dinklage. So it's a great two-header. And the News of the World, the new Tom Hanks film. I just loved it.
That's when he he revised his character from Toy Story, yeah?
What? Go on. Is there a joke?
That was it. Because he's like, what was he? I've ruined it because I can't remember what his character is.
Oh, because he's a cowboy.
Woody.
Oh, I see. Woody. Yeah. I see. Right. Okay. Oh, I see. Yes. Yes. It is a Western, but it's brilliant. And it's all about, it's got loads of correlations with sort of fake, because he goes around town to town reading the news. And so it sort of brings in like fake news and all that sort of stuff and how the news is. It's got a few late because it's Paul Greengrass, you know, who did all the Bourne stuff.
Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to watch movies again because I just don't think I want to commit myself to a series anymore. So I watched the Chicago 7, is it?
Oh, the Trial of Chicago 7. That's great, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I thought I must start watching. I watched the end of Call My Agent. And have you watched that yet?
No, this is the one that you keep trying to get me to
French
watch by telling me it's not very good.
It's not very good, but I kind of got into it and I like the characters and I like the fact they're all speaking in French and I watch it and think I can speak French. But it's got a terrible ending. I mean, you go through all those series, I think it's 4 series, and by the end of it, it's terrible. And I'm like, it's always the way with these things. It's like I ended up watching Suits for a while. And then at one stage, apologies if you've just got into Suits, close your ears for like 30 seconds. But at one stage, they break someone out of prison. I mean, you watch it going, oh, bullshit. It's like that. It's like the heist, which I won't go into, but that starts off brilliantly. And by the end of it, you're going, that is so unbelievable.
Oh, the money heist.
Heist. Like that,
I started it, actually. I got about 8 in. I think you put me off it.
Well, it goes brilliant. It starts brilliant and then goes ridiculous. And speaking of which, Game of Thrones, which was so disappointing in the last series. I can't remember. You watched Game of Thrones, didn't you?
No. Oh, it's not my cup of tea, that.
Well, Game of Thrones, my mate works in materials and textiles and stuff, and they've bought all the material for the prequel. So set before Game of Thrones. So that's it. How's health? I like to do the catch up with you and your lockdown and everything. It's more same of the same, more same.
Yeah, yeah.
Same old, same old.
Well, running, walking, watching what I mean, you know, you can, there's only so much you can do. You have, I had all these visions before lockdown of coming out built like some brick shit house, and that's just not happened. It's, you're just surviving day to day, really, aren't you?
I'm determined to learn a foreign language, but I just can't be bothered.
No, but I'm teaching myself little bits and pieces on fixing, like working out, you know, like we both use MacBooks, don't we?
Because yeah,
we're media wankers. And someone's given me an old iMac, a really old iMac. And so I'm trying to work out how putting in a new hard drive and doing all that sort of stuff. So doing useful stuff that I can translate to my job, you know, rather than learning a language I'm never going to use. I'd have to go on holiday to the place to use it, and I'm never going to be able to go on holiday ever again. So
I was feeling a little down recently, Mark. So I shouldn't say this on the podcast, but I've actually broken the lockdown reels, Mark. I decided, like, I was feeling bad, so I decided I'd go for one of those sensual massages, and I didn't really like it. His hands were too rough. Asked him why, and he told me he was a bricklayer 3 days a week. Lovely fella, name was Dave. Now, the only way that joke works is if you're sexist, I reckon, because you, if you find that funny, you have to visualise me being a sensual massage with a woman, right? So if you actually found that funny, you're sexist, because the sensual massage could be the a man as well. Is that, am I correct there? The way that joke works, Mark, is I lead you into...
Is it in a bin? That's where it works, in a bin.
I lead you into this beautiful place where you think about me, naked, sensual massage, some lady, and then bam, right turn, man with rough hands. Right, let's take a trip to Ego Corner. Dear Tim, just wanted to drop you a quick note, say thank you for the time and effort you put into your podcast. I've had so many enjoyable hours in my car listening to you and your guests in particular, Wim Hof. I've been doing cold showers and his breathing exercises for over a year now. Feels great. I just don't think about it anymore. Just end of every shower, cold shower. Just do it. And I don't know why anymore. I'm not sure it makes me feel right. I just don't know. It's become a habit. I like it. I like walking out freezing cold. I like the feeling of the blood rushing back in. I think that's it. It's kind of good. Tom Cheese, right? He liked futurologist guy. Stuff he says already starting to happen. Charlie Morley, lucid dreaming. Tried it. It works. I wonder what David did when he gets his lucid dreaming. What did you do, David, when you went into lucid dreaming? Because Charlie Morley said the first thing everyone does is they fly and they have sex with people. Giles Brandreth, he says, could listen to him all day, and loads of others. I've listened to nearly all of them, and they all have some interesting content within them, and a great interviewer to ask the right questions and get them to spill their knowledge. Thank you very much, David. That's really polite. There were a couple of drugs-related ones, Peter Blexley and the... another ex-police person involving drugs, crime, and me banging my head against the steering wheel. It's so clear and obvious that drugs should be decriminalised and controlled in the country. The amount of money being spent on illegal drugs in this country must be mind-blowing. It's all going to the hands of organised crime and gangsters rather than tax man who could use the proceeds to pay for all kinds of things, including better drug education for kids and help for addicts. This is an interesting thing and something that we've done quite a lot on this podcast. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing on this podcast. Keep up the good work, David. So that's good. And then Georgina says, Dear Tim, I found him, Midweek Mark, phew. And you didn't sound like you hated each other. That's good then. I've definitely missed out on the whole rebranding thing though. How'd I miss that? And elbowing Mark out the door into prison. He's not really in prison, is he? Are you really in prison, Mark? You're not, are
no,
you? Just
really.
An image we've created for him. I sort of rebranded it an hour because I don't know, what do you think, Mark? I didn't really speak to you about this, but an hour, I just thought, kind of says what it is, an hour. And I think podcasts were just, you always said it to me, didn't you? How long are our podcasts going on for? Because some of them eked into an hour and 45 minutes, didn't they?
It depends. It honestly depends. But an hour, I think, is if you hit an hour. I mean, you know, you listen to those Rogan ones, some of them are 3 hours, and you just thinking, fine. But I don't know. I'm quite happy with an hour. I'm quite happy with an hour.
Yes, so am I. And I think when they start eking into 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, I start looking at the time and I found myself going, I just can't be bothered to listen to it anymore because it's too long. So I think an hour, and that was the idea. They're all roughly around an hour, and there's three different ones. There's the four. There's the A to Z of football one. There's the curious about things, and there's the 12 questions celebrities and the midweek mark. So
why was the number of 15 set on for the questions I meant to ask you?
Oh, well, I'll let you into a little secret. So it started as 20 questions, but
this is what I wondered, because obviously that's the well-known phrase / saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
20 questions. I thought you were just being sort of, you know, difficult and
for the sake of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mark, it was 20 questions, and I started asking everyone the questions, and because I like talking and everything led on, I never got anywhere near the 20 questions. So I moved it to 15 questions, but I'll let you into a little secret if you don't tell anyone. I never get through 15 either. I don't know how many I get through. And it was funny because when I was talking to Alan McGee the other day, I realized some of the questions were going to take us way off topic. And Alan really wanted to get stuck into talking about his career and music and bands. And then it was like, what were you like at school, or, you know, what was your something? And I just thought it was just going off. So it's a sort of a clumsy way, a clunky way of getting an interview going. However, you know, I interviewed Adam Hills yesterday, and he really enjoyed it because he said it's nice to be asked different questions every now and then. So I don't know, it seems to be working. I like it, and it just starts a conversation. So cool. That's why it's 15 questions, but I'm not sticking rigidly to it.
No,
I'm not big on a format, Mark. Do you know what I haven't done though is interestingly, someone asked me the other day what award I love this, what award did you win for your podcast? And I went, mine. And they went, what do you mean yours? And I went, well, Mark and I sat there and we decided we'd give ourselves an award. Did we do it 2 years in a row?
We did, yeah. We're multi-award winning.
Yeah, and you know, the awards are just awards, aren't they? And they said, you can't just give yourself awards. And I went, oh, seriously, we're up against big, tough competition. Yeah. What do you mean? I said, well, on the shortlist, there was Joe Rogan, there was Mark Maron, there was the film one, Mark Kermode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Simon Mayo. There was like four or five, didn't we? We went up against.
Erin Buxton.
Yeah, that was it. And these people... this person asking me well, who decided who won? I said Mark and me. We sat down and we worked out and we decided ours was the best podcast. And their face was just absolutely brilliant. They go, you can't do that. I went, well, how else do they work? It's just an opinion. Yeah. That's how everything works. And we decided ours was the best. And, yeah. And I need to give myself one for the football podcast. I just keep forgetting to do it.
Best football podcast
in the world.
Yeah.
it's brilliant. Let's have our moan. What's your moan, Mark?
Oh, things are getting too big. Cars are getting too big. Cars are too big now. It's got to stop.
Agreed.
Can't get them into car parking spaces.
Agreed.
Two cars now can't go down the road in two different directions without having to stop round each other. They don't even fit in driveways or garages anymore. They come out of the... If you look down, like, say, you've got, like, a terrace road and all the cars are all poking out over the pavement because they're too big.
And yeah.
And I'm hoping the electric car thing will come in and it will be more fashionable to have a smaller, more economical car. Because when you get in one of those big cars, they don't feel any bigger inside. So they've just got, like, meter-wide doors. And I just... Why are they so massive?
Why didn't cars go up rather than across wide? Why didn't we go? Why did we double deck them? I mean, like, you can't go fast now anyway. I mean, like, everywhere in London's 20 miles an hour. I don't know what it's like around you, but it's 20 miles an hour. And if you go faster than that, they've got traps everywhere. So you're just driving 20 miles an hour. Motorway 70, there's traps everywhere. So you've got to stay at that speed. Dual carriageway, what's that, 40 or something? I don't know, whatever it is ever. But yeah, most of them around London, they've made the dual carriageways down to 40. So you know, you can't go fast. You might as well go up, stick your kids on the roof in a little thing up there if you've got too many kids or kids.
And it's great I was in the supermarket car park the other day and people were having to, like, reverse out to let people out of the car to get back because there's two massive cars together. And we don't have the American infrastructure, do we? We don't have those massive highways.
Though I suppose there comes a problem if you have things like dogs and lot. I mean, lot. My local park around here, Mark, is like a dog training center at the moment. I don't know how this all ends because every single person seems to have got a dog. There's puppies everywhere. I mean, it's boom time for dogs and puppy training school and stuff. But if you've got a dog, you need one of those cars to get the dog in the back. I think that's it. But I think that's why people are doing it, because everyone's getting a dog. And also the other thing about it, which is quite nice, is you end up sitting up high. I had a load of those big cars for years, but I've actually, because I hardly drive anymore because I live in London, there's just no point, and I cycle everywhere. And I've just downgraded. I got a Mini now and I love it because it's a city car. And I think that's what you're saying, is city cars for city and the big cars for the countryside. But we've brought the country life into the city, I think.
And the other thing I noticed the other day was prams. Prams are now like, you know, if we're driving around in tanks, then like people are pushing actual Jeeps around now. They're so mad. Have you seen how big they are? You haven't had was it 5 years since you were pushing Jamie around?
No,
but they've got so big. Do you remember they used to be like the ones that I grew up in when I was a child was a dolly, like you could put a dolly in it. And it used to fold up and you could put it, you know, like, yeah, whatever, you're part of a bookcase or something. They're so big. And the other day I was walking through the park and there was like an actual traffic jam. There was an actual traffic jam because everyone's got these giant Jeep prams.
Bigger is better.
Is it?
Bigger is always
better. It's so funny.
Always better.
It's so funny. In our local park, there's the tennis courts, which have been locked shut, despite the fact that tennis actually is pretty socially distant.
Yeah.
And then in the next door, in the play park, on the climbing frames, there was over 200 people.
I thought they were
How does that work?
I thought climbing frames and playgrounds were locked.
No.
Okay.
No, so there was about 100 adults and about another 100 children.
Wow.
And they're all talking to each other, all not so, you know, and you just go, anyway.
Do you know what I want to moan about? My moan.
Stop me. You must stop me.
My moan is food. I bumped into a guy the other day, my mate, and he said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, wife's just in a supermarket." And I said, he goes, and I agreed with him, goes, "I'm so bored of food." And I am as well, because it's become such a big part of our days, as in, oh, what are we having for lunch? What are we having for dinner? It just punctuates the day, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to the stage where you're just like, I'm just not interested in any of it anymore. And I went through a stage where I was like, oh, once a week I'll have a Deliveroo. And now I'm look at that and go, I can't be bothered. I'll have stir fry or something. And I'm just finding food. I don't know if everyone else is. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. The food on Sunday brunch is unbelievable at the moment. We're getting so many great things to eat on there. But just cooking for myself and my kids, the other two at university. But it's just
cooking is getting a bit repetitive. I'm finding cooking a bit repetitive. Just having, because you'd probably go, I mean, how many times a week would you have gone out for something to eat?
Yeah, well,
that punctuates it.
Even if it's just once, like a month, it's
I know.
Just what we're doing. But food, the meal times become so important for everyone, hasn't it? That's the thing. So
I was actually looking at those meal supplement things, you know, those sort of like protein things. They do a keto one, and I was just thinking, I could just do a week of those. I wouldn't have to think about it.
I've always said that would be great, just to have a like a drink. You could just like two or three drinks.
Well, they do them, don't they?
Yeah, but you've got to, with it, it would have to take away A, your hunger, and B, your desire for other foods. That's what would be my condition. And I don't think they do that. You end up just drinking a crappy milkshake, don't you? What's it called? It's called Huel. Is that right? Or
I don't know. That's one of them. Yeah.
Something like that. Right. Mark, last week we loved it so much. Well, I've been doing a few quiz questions with my mates. And so I said to Mark, have you got any quiz questions? And I'd written a few We do this thing. I don't know if you want to do it. If you're listening, it's quite good fun where everyone comes. It's not one quiz organized by one person. Everyone brings five quiz questions. What I quite like about it is you can start judging your friends on the questions they bring. All my friends bring questions which are so hard. No one right. can get them to prove that they're more intelligent than everybody else. Oh, what? You don't know that. You don't know that.
You've never seen that, Phil.
One of my mates.
I love that. You've never seen it. Oh, my God. You've never seen that. No, I haven't. I was probably watching something completely different at the time, and you've probably not seen the thing I've watching.
You've never seen The Wire. You've never seen The Wire. All right, so who's going to do our quiz questions first? Mine are on a very similar tack to last time, because I like that.
So, go on, you go first then. You go first.
Well, I do a couple, you do some, and then I'll...
Well, no, mine are all the same thing, so don't start playing with the format, Tim, really. I know you don't like a format, but...
No, you go first, come on. How many questions have you got?
Five quick ones.
Five quick questions.
Do you want should I do it like we used to do it, where I do the answers at the end?
If that's the way you want to do it.
Okay. Well,
bearing in mind I don't know a lot, will I be able to answer any of these questions?
I am going to be able to get to say, I can't believe you haven't seen that. Because five times. Right. Because it's just to celebrate Tom Hanks' new film, News of the World. I've done a Tom Hanks quiz for you.
Brilliant. And I've got to think of how many different ways can I go, oh, God, I think I know it. Oh, okay.
Pens and paper at the ready, Tim.
Acting here. Yep, go on.
Okay.
Forrest Gump, number one, Forrest Gump.
Tom Hanks has won two Best Actor Academy Awards. Which films were they for?
Forrest Gump, number one, and Saving Private Ryan, number two. Definitely, 100%. Okay. Nailed on. I've done it. I've done you one. I've done it.
Okay. Number two, what is the profession of his character in the 2016 film Sully?
Oh, he works in a... Oh! Pilot. Yes, I've got it. I've done it. I love this. Pilot.
Okay, three points are here. Gets a little trickier.
Right.
Tom Hanks has co-starred with Meg Ryan in three films. Name them.
Harry Met Sally. God, gee, has he?
Yes.
Harry Met Sally 2. Is there Harry Met Sally 2? Is there a prequel? Really? All right, what about Big? Was she in that? I'm going Harry Met Sally, Big, and... I reckon she had a bit part in Forrest Gump.
Okay. I like that every answer is going to be Forrest Gump. It sort of makes you a bit of a Forrest Gump, which is quite good. He played astronaut Jim Lovell in which film?
Apollo. Apollo.
Gonna need a number.
I don't know. Apollo. Apollo 11. No, Apollo. Oh, I don't know. Apollo. Apollo. Apollo 14, 11. I don't know. I don't know. Everyone listening to this is shouting.
I love how your confidence has really drained.
I'll go 11.
First question.
Apollo 4, 5. Oh, I don't know. I know it's a number. Okay. I'm trying to think how many.
Well, that might give you a clue when I said I need a number. So.
I'm going to go 6.
Okay. Okay, when I tell you, you'll be so annoyed. Finally, in 2001, he wrote, produced, and briefly appeared in which World War II television show?
Oh, Thingy Boys. What's that?
The Thingy Boys. What is... correct.
The one which had all the actors which came through, good-looking guys, and they're all muddy and stuff. What was that one? That one. Where they all
think Shakespeare. It's part of a Shakespeare quote.
Mark, I don't know. Sorry. What? Give me the answers.
Okay then. Question one. His two Best Actor Academy Awards were for Forrest Gump.
Yes.
And Philadelphia.
Oh yes.
You remember
Philadelphia? Yeah, I went to Philadelphia, Mark, on holiday. I went to a party there.
Oh, here we go.
Terrible party, but lovely spread.
Is that joke over?
Yep, joke's over.
The profession of his character in the 2016 film Sully is, you are correct, it's Pilot.
Yes.
Chelsea Sullenberger. And he landed the plane on the water. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Not a spoiler, because that happens right at the beginning. Yeah, the three-pointer here, Tom Hanks co-starred with Meg Ryan in three films. Joe versus the Volcano.
Never heard of it.
Okay. Sleepless in Seattle.
What did I say? When Harry Met Sally? Well,
yeah. And You've Got Mail.
Ah, okay. So When Harry Met
Sally. You must have heard of those second two.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. I have, yeah.
So Sleepless in Seattle. You've got none for that.
So who is Harry Met Sally?
That is Billy Crystal.
Ah, yes. Ah, okay. Sleepless in Seattle, yeah.
He played astronaut Jim Lovell in Apollo. Now you're going to kick yourself here because it's the worst number. It's the most unlucky number.
13.
Yeah. And it didn't go well for him, did it, in that? So there you are. And finally, he wrote, produced, and briefly appeared in Band of Brothers.
That's the one. I'll give myself a point for that because I knew it.
No, you don't get a point for not answering it, though. Come on.
But I knew it. It was Boys.
Okay,
Boys.
Fine, fair enough.
Apparently, I think it's America. They don't. Is it America? Some of the hotels refuse to have floor 13 on the big hotels.
That's right,
because
it's
unlucky.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so let's go back to my, hopefully you'll be able to hear this. So you've got, this is my first question. You've got absolutely hammered, Mark, and you've gone and gotten a flight with a legendary person who gets hammered. You're Chris Evans. You're with Richard Branson, Chris Evans, trying to sort out a deal. You're his producer. And they fly you, and you don't know where you've gone because you're so drunk, and you wake up in a country, you're in a hotel room, and you look around, and it's like every hotel now in the world, they all look the same inside, and you think, well, I'll put the TV on. You put the TV on, and the news starts. This is the news. What country are you in? Okay, Mark, what country did you wake up in?
Cool. It's a fast country. It's a fast and loud country. That's a really hard one. It's obviously not going to be an obvious one, is it? It's going to be...
No, it's obvious. I'm not making them hard.
Oh, okay. Is it South Korea?
No, it's Thailand, but very close.
Okay.
Okay, here's a recipe for you. What are you making? You've got 50 milliliters of bourbon. You've got 35 milliliters of lemon juice. You've got sugar syrup. You've got 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, 1 fresh egg white, ice, and either a cherry or lemon zest and peel.
So the egg white you normally use in a whiskey sour, don't you?
You got it, Mark.
Yeah.
You've got it.
And the Angostura bitter, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Question number 3. Live well for less is whose slogan?
It is a supermarket.
They're so hard, these, aren't they? Because you just, like, you hear it so often you can't associate it.
There's two. One begins with T, one begins with A, and I'm just, every little helps is Tesco, so live well for less. Is that Asda?
It's actually Sainsbury's, Mark.
Is it?
It's good, but it's not right.
I go there nearly every day.
We all know, I'm really sorry about this question, but I just found it fascinating, and I don't know why, but blue whales, as we all know, are the biggest animal in the world since, well, in modern times.
Yep.
But how big are their penises?
Oh, Tim.
Just because it is unbelievable. And I know it's childish, but it's not childish, actually.
They're a mile long.
A mile? Between 8 and 10 foot.
Right, okay.
And the final one is, I think you'll like this. Who's, what do they call this? Audio logo is this. Okay. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it. Oh, hold on.
Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Tim. I reckon I hear that about 40 times a day.
Well, I wondered whether you would or not, because there's, because
I know what you mean.
So often you think it could be anything. Could be anything. Yeah. Right, let's get stuck in some problems then. This one comes from Andrew. One of the things of this lockdown is I found it takes two very strong coffees before 10 a.m. before I could even function. Do I have a problem or not, Tim? You have to be careful with too much caffeine. Mark, are you still not on caffeine? You went decaf, didn't you?
No, I have one coffee in the morning now. One caffeinated coffee in the morning, and then everything else is decaffeinated from then on. Just to get me going.
The key to living, I think, is not to be dependent on anything. Obviously, water and air and shelter and stuff and love you need. But I'm totally addicted to coffee and my phone. And my phone back to being a horrific problem because we're in lockdown again. I find that it's making me anxious. I have to turn it off if I want to watch it. I mean, it's just terrible. It's so out of control, my phone addiction. And I can see it. But because I'm always posting about the podcast and everything else, it's kind of, I can't really do anything about it, really. Well, I can. That's just such a lame excuse. But that's the big thing for me when lockdown finishes. I can probably get off my bloody phone. But what are you addicted to? Have you got, apart from your one cup of coffee a day, how's everything else going? Are you dependent on anything, Mark?
Not particularly, not really. Probably audio, you know, listening to stuff. I have headphones on all day from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. So maybe that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I try not to do too much Netflix and stuff, because I find my addiction to that becomes ridiculous as well. And I start thinking, oh, can't wait to get to the end of the day so I can watch some more Netflix or something. And I'm like, what am I doing there? Anyway, I've got another one in, and this one's an important one. And it seems in the last 2 months or so, for some reason, people have got really interested in talking about me not having hair. This comes from Ian. Tim, when did you start losing your hair? My son is 21 and distraught as he is losing it fast. Did you investigate any of the procedures available? I feel for him as it's denting his confidence. Now, this is my answer I sent to him. Then we can discuss it, Mark, because it's something we've both been through. Whether we like it or not, it's tough. And it is tough when you lose your hair. Whatever anyone says, it's just not pleasant experience, because you start changing and you can visually see it. I said, the problem with procedures is once you're in, you have to keep going. This is why I didn't go through with the transplant. For anyone who doesn't know this, I went to get a hair transplant. Mark was with me. We've filmed the audio. I bottled it. And I think it was why I know it was the right decision, because I can always go and get it done again. And I said, the only real advice is go short and own it. But it took me a while. And it took me a long time. I'll just quickly tell you my experience, Mark, because I'd like to hear yours as well. I remember being on Soccer M, and I watched a bit of footage back of me, and just where what do you call that bit, the crown of your head, just the crown. I remember I was leaning forward and I was sitting on, and I could see this, like, I don't know, it's about 50 pence worth of baldness.
Shiny, and I thought.
That's weird, I haven't lost my hair, have I? This was years and years ago, so this has got to be 10 years ago, if not more.
It's what my friends brilliantly termed the egg in the nest.
Yeah, but it was just tiny. And I was like, well, I think that's just because the way the cameras and the lights, the problem with the cameras and the lights on TV is it makes you a lot bolder, and it's horrific. And then slowly you start doing things like noticing yourself in mirrors. And with me, in monitors on TV shows, you can't start seeing it getting bolder and bolder. And I've really got to be honest with you, I've really struggled with it, only because I didn't want it to happen to me like everybody else. I don't hate having shaved head, it just feels so horrible to have a bald patch. It's not the actual losing it, the front bit, that I mind, it's the bit at the back, the egg in the nest, as you say. And so I really struggled with it. And I remember when I started taking a bit shorter, I think you sort of very much hinted at me going, I think you should take it even shorter, Tim. I think you should just keep going shorter and shorter. And I kept trying to hang on to it. And just very quickly, because I want to ask your experience, I remember standing with you in a pub and we were discussing hair, and you said, I've started using this shampoo and it really seems to work. So we've all been through that thing where you go and buy Regain and all that sort of stuff, and you say, right, I'll put some in my hair and see how it gets on. And, you know, it's sure to grow back. It just won't grow back. It's you know, maybe they'll invent something in the future, but we'll see.
Yeah. I remember that conversation, and I remember I remember when I actually noticed, I basically, very quickly, I went to the hairdressers. I had a haircut. She did me that thing around the mirror at the back. I think we said this last time. Mirror around the back. And I went, you didn't tell me I was going bald. She said, well, it's not my job. And so I paid her and then I went home and shaved it. But it took me from the walk home to get to think, well, I'm just going to shave it. And that's that. Because a lot of people I know had gone bald before I had. I was about 33. And I just went, well, what are you going to do? And then someone told me about this thing and I tried it. And because I'd only just started losing it, did work for a bit. But it was so expensive. And I just thought, what are you doing? What a waste of money. So I just continued shaving it. Here's a thing. This doesn't necessarily translate to this person that wrote in there. But I think you're taking too much stock on your looks. I think at some point in your life, you've had to take too much stock on your looks if that worries you so much. I'm used to being a plug ugly fucker. And I like to be smart. I like to be well. I keep my appearance nice. But as far as hair goes, I just think it's just another thing not to have to worry about. It hasn't bothered me for about 30 minutes after I found out.
Really? By the way, Mark isn't ugly, but really? I mean, I'm one of the ones who I'll openly admit that I struggle with the idea. I really liked my hair. I liked having hair.
But that means you took too much stock in it. You took too much stock in your appearance, used it too much of a currency, even, I don't know. For it, when it's gone, it's like, ah. Oh! I mean, I had a million different hairstyles because it was fun. But the moment I lost it, I think, well, that's over now. Get on with it. For example, it's difficult for you, different for you. You've wanted to be on tele. You always wanted to be on television. I've never wanted to be in front of the camera. I've never really wanted to be in front of a microphone, if I'm totally honest with you. This only happened because, I was producing your show and stuff. But everywhere else, I've never really spoken on mic. So I've always been in my job, always been a backroom boy. I've always had a scalp for radio.
But you do understand a lot of men go through horrific times.
Absolutely. And I've been quite lucky with it that I don't care. I saw people before me, people younger than me, lose their hair way quicker. Before that, 21, same as the person who wrote in it, their son. And I think that does feel young. And if it's really denting his confidence, then maybe they should look at some procedures. but you do get used to it pretty quickly.
What's fascinating though, Mark, is at least 2 to 3 times a week I'll get DM'd or tweeted or something. It's contacting me with guys going, when did you decide to cut your hair off, Tim? What happened? And it's guys who are losing their hair are looking for, because I'm on TV going, when did it happen to you? I think they just want to hear that it's going to be okay, and it is going to be okay. But I mean, if you ask me, I'd like to have my hair back 100%. But if anyone invents anything, I'll give it a go. I don't mind that at all. But I do think, don't be careful of locking yourself into procedures, because that's what happened when I was going to do that hair transplant. The realization is once you do one, your original hair still falls out. You still got to go back. I've said it a million times on the podcast. One of my friend's dads had 7 hair transplants. Yeah. A, that's expensive business. And B, you're just like sticking hair all. I mean, it's like a really strange thing to do. But I did look around TV, and apart from actors, where there's quite a lot of them on TV, the presenters, there's not many now, but interestingly I work with a bald-headed guy, so it never felt
I thought it was really on the nose the other day when on the Sunday brunch they used one of those advert bumpers and it was 2 eggs with faces on it. I thought that was 2 bald eggs. I thought that was really on the nose.
Yeah, I think they might have done that for a reason. All right, let's go on to another one. This is from Janine, who says, how long should you wait for someone to join your one-to-one Zoom meeting before leaving, i.e. without being rude? 5 minutes. Anyone who's listened to this podcast throughout the time, Mark and I, we can't stand people who are late. We like punctuality. And I don't think everyone's got a clock. And if you turn up and you're 10 minutes late for a meeting, or maybe even 15 or 20, you can get away with public transport or something. You can't do it on Zoom. I mean, no. 5 minutes max, and 5 minutes is the I think that's enough, don't you, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's such bandwidth now to the person you're meeting. You've more than likely got their email address or their mobile number. Just to tell them beforehand and say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. And that, you don't care about that. That's not too bad. But when you're sat there waiting,
yeah,
not good enough.
A to Z Dan of football podcast, we were interviewing Mark Crosley and the ex-Forest goalkeeper. And it got to like 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late. And Blake was going, honestly, I texted him this morning. He said he was going to do it. I don't know what's happened. Then suddenly that thing comes on Zoom and Mitt, and I went, sorry, lads, I fell asleep on the sofa.
Yeah,
I was like, at least he was honest. Do you know what I mean?
That happened to me. I went for a meeting and the person texted me and said, sorry, I've just woken up. And I traveled all the way across London to meet them, sat in a coffee shop waiting for them. And they text to say, sorry, I've just woken up. I'll be with you in 5 minutes. Can you imagine what I did? What do you think I did?
Went home.
Yeah. Did you think I told them?
No, you just went home.
No, I did. Oh. Yeah.
That's feisty.
Well, I mean, that's quid pro quo, isn't it? Waste yours.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I got one from Steph here, which says, I gave birth to a boy last week. Any parenting advice? Yeah, I do, actually.
Congratulations.
One of my mates has had a kid recently, and and it's fascinating. He had about 6 months ago or something, and I keep saying this to him as well. And you know, it's horrible when you're a parent and you're sort of patronizing your friend because you've been through it all before. But the one thing that I think is the best piece of advice ever for any parents out there is every time something becomes annoying, which it will. I mean, there are parents out there who go, I'm enjoying every single minute of it. There are bits where it slightly becomes annoying. When things become frustrating, which they will, or overwhelming, which sometimes happens too, each stage only lasts for a really, really short period of time. So if they're teething, matter of weeks and it's over. So you just have to go through it. And it just got to remember that you're only a few days away from that stage ending and the next stage starting. Doesn't mean the next stage isn't going to be frustrating, annoying, or overwhelming, but that this stage ends. And I always think that's the best advice, because I miss all this. I've said it on this podcast before, I miss changing nappies and stuff. You know, I really miss it, because it's kind of like a nice little bonding moment with your kid. But the time when you're doing it, like, oh, Jesus Christ, this stinks. But there you go. Should we do one more here?
Yes.
This is from who is this from? I've got to find it. Hold on. I've got all my paperwork all over the place, and so I've got to just find where this bit is. Should I retire at 55? Says Bill. It's an interesting one, that. Mark, what do you think?
Should I retire at how old?
55.
If you could afford to.
Do you think? I think the biggest thing with life, though, is you've got to find some form of purpose in your life, something to do, right? Do you know who I interviewed the other day on my show was Chris Packham?
And oh, brilliant.
I love him. And I've always thought Chris Packham, Mark, was he's got one of the best lives ever. He lives in the middle of the countryside. And he's obsessed with the countryside and nature. And he gets up every day and he has a purpose. The only problem with Chris, I think, is he's frustrated about the way we're, as humans, are treating the planet. And I think that obviously frustrates him and gives him anxiety. But he just loves every day of his life because he works looking at animals and he watches them and he just gets out in nature. We all know makes you happy. And I think it's that thing of finding a purpose in life. And I worry if you retire. I mean, if I retired from doing podcasting and TV and stuff, God knows what I'd do. I mean, I just have no idea what I would do. You've got to find something to do, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, but he's only retiring because he's not enjoying the job, I suppose. If he was really enjoying it, he wouldn't give it up at 55, would he? So find something else to do.
Yeah. Would you like to be one of those people who retired at 55?
I mean, it's never going to happen, but I mean, ideally, that would be terrific. Imagine just full-time Netflix, Audible, walks, running.
Where's your joke, Mark? Have I missed it?
That was it. No, no. It's terrible, Tim. Do you want me to do it anyway?
Go on.
Talking of the news, Tim.
No, the news?
we were talking about the news of the world, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've sacked the presenter from the shipping forecast.
I'm laughing and I don't know what's coming. That's because it just is. I like this setup. Right, okay, so can I tell you what I'm visualizing just so we can work this gag through?
Don't ruin the joke for me, Tim.
I'm visualizing.
But by the way, they haven't sacked the shipping forecast.
Oh, haven't they?
Presenter, no.
Okay. It's just for the joke, is it?
It's for the joke. I gave myself a line and worked back from it.
Brilliant. Okay. I love it. It's a pun.
Shall I start again?
Yeah, no, whatever you like.
Yeah, Tim, it's a shame they sacked the presenter of the shipping forecast. Yeah.
Oh, why is that?
No, it was just they dropped their anchor.
Yay! I'm working on one at the moment.
You've got one in the pipeline, have you?
I've got a joke that I'm working on. It's like, what are jokes? How do you just got to, I don't know how they work. You set something up, a visual image in someone's mind, and then you twist it, and that makes you laugh. Yeah. Is it? Do you think that's what it
I
is?
I mean, they're supposed to make you laugh, but I think.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Do you know what I've also done recently, Mark? And before we finish on our three words, is I've started listening to the Beatles, and they're really good.
you've discovered a new band.
Do you know what? I have, because I kind of, you know, the Beatles.
How many years have I been telling you? And you always used to say they were rubbish.
Yeah, I don't like the early stuff.
No, but that's the beginning of proper British rock and roll, isn't it? So you can forgive them for it being slightly rudimentary. I mean, I remember you saying it's childish, and I thought that was really funny. I just imagine you like going into like some cave somewhere and look at these ancient cave paintings and go, well, a bit childish, aren't they?
They are. Actually, that's a good point. But you know, if anyone out there looking for a new band, I really recommend the Beatles, because they're like their latest stuff. It's just what I find amazing about the Beatles is how they change so dramatically
over the space of 8 years.
And the music,
they only put records out for 8 years,
and it's so influential on everything everything else which has ever happened after it. It's
absolutely
such an amazing thing, isn't it, when you think about it? And like everybody, I grew up with the Beatles being played all the time, so you just sort of take it for granted, one of those things. And to actually do some analysis on it is actually you know, quite fascinating.
To sit down and listen to it and then read about how it came about is fascinating, and why it sounds like it does, and all the influences and all that sort of stuff. I'm quite obsessed with that whole topic.
Do you think they invented being, what's the word? I wanted to say rude, but it's not rude. Sort of witty, style, with the press when they absolutely.
I mean, they were the first people to do that. Absolutely, they were.
Yeah.
There was no one else. There's no one else had been doing that before. Not even the American artists, really. It was all, you know, they were a proper band. They were four friends. You know, Ringo joined a lot later, but those three were a proper band from school age. So they had their own sense of humor. So imagine walking into that. You know, it's like when the Gallagher brothers came, they were this fully formed thing. Everything else was manufactured still at that time. People like Lionel Bart were putting all the, you know, the guy who did Oliver.
Yeah.
Or those sort of people. They were putting together these artists, you know, and all manufactured. Cliff Richard, all those people, all the way, you know, Tommy Steele and those people, they're all manufactured. And they were the first, they came out, they were not only writing their own songs, they had two guitarists, and the guitarists sang and played guitar that they'd never seen. Mm. You normally had a front man, and, you know, and they on their in their first recording stuff with EMI and George Martin. George Martin was sitting there trying to choose, going, which one should be the lead singer? Should it be John or should it be Paul? Should it be John or should it be Paul? And then it dawned on him, it's like, well, they should just both do it. And that hadn't been really done, you know, properly before. So,
Well, I'm going to have to stop you on the Beatles, otherwise we'll end up like Joe Rogan. Right, you gave me three words, Mark, and I'm going to bang through the three words. The first one is practice. And the more you practice, the better you get at things. I didn't invent that. That's common knowledge.
Because you know, this thing used to be called Life Hacks, Pearls of Wisdom. Imagine that being either a life hack or a pearl of wisdom. The more you practice the things, the better you get.
I do move on, though. When someone says I can't play the piano or I can't speak a foreign language, that's bullshit. You can. You choose not to. And that's a reality. I was talking to Simon Rimmer the other day on the show in one of the ad breaks. He goes, I wish I could play the piano. I said, you can. It's no, you know, you can work a kitchen, you can play the piano. It's just you choose not to. And you've got to remember that. You can't not do anything. You're choosing not to do it. The next word is coat. As humans, we can't survive without clothes. So when people start lecturing you about being natural, tell them to spend a night under the stars in winter and see if their body temperature regulates itself enough for natural survival. Our nature, like the animals we've domesticated, is not natural anymore. I just thought that was a way of putting some thought process. No, there's the thing is that everyone at the moment is bang on about going back to nature. We are so far away from nature. I was on Sunday brunch the other day. Everyone looked at me like I was mental, but we were showing like this big rat thing. What are those creatures called? Those, the biggest rat thing, the rodent, whatever they're called.
That's a really long, listeners can't see the impression you were doing there. It gave me no clues whatsoever.
It's like the biggest rat. If I said the name, you'd know it. And there was a bird sitting on it eating bugs off the back of the rat, and the rat didn't care about it. And I went, isn't nature like weird? And it is. And it's like, thank God we've left it. And this is the thing. I think we've left nature. We live in central heated houses. We eat all our food process in packets of plastic. And then every now and then you have the sort of, I know we like to stay as close. We should go out in nature and stay as close to it. But every now and then you get that annoying friend who tells you they're really close to nature. And you're like, no, you're not. You wear a coat. You wear shoes. You know, show me the cow wearing shoes. They don't wear shoes, you know, and it's like we have removed ourselves so far away from nature. So yeah, be careful on that sales pitch. And the final question, and bizarrely Mark brought this up earlier on in the podcast, the final word Mark gave was face. Remember, your face is not who you are. What you are is a mystery, as we have literally no idea. But we do know that you're not sitting behind your eyes looking out. And it's the mistake we all make as humans. If you look at a baby, they have no idea. I've tried to describe this once on the podcast before. Do you remember? And gave up. And I think I'm probably out of my depth and will give up this time as well. But
is that the time, Tim? I've really got to get going.
Oh, we've come to the end of the hour. We literally have as well. But it is that thing when you're a baby, you have no idea who you are. Then one day you look in a mirror and you think that is who you are, that person looking at you. You're not. I can't be bothered. Anyway, that's it for this week's podcast.
Wow. What an enthusiastic ending. That was terrific. Oh, I can't be. That's what you should call it.
I can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered.
Get rid of my midweek mark, so I can't be bothered. That would take me forever to try and explain it, and I wouldn't be very good at explaining it. Anyway, listen to some podcasts on consciousness. You'll get it. All right, Mark, thank you very much. We'll see you next month. Peace and love, Joy.
Bye.
The Lovejoy Hour is written and presented by Tim Lovejoy, produced by Blake Fellows, and sponsored by Quokka. If you want to get in touch, email lovejoyhour@gmail.com, or you can find Tim on Twitter and on Instagram.